the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right. It is the Bucket Strategy Investing Show. Thank you all for joining us once again. We appreciate everyone being here. Another hour awaits. In fact, it's just getting started, as are we. For this particular hour, we got more to talk about. We got more strategies to discuss and more questions to answer as we continue to do what I believe we do best every single day right here, and that is give you the best in money information. Now, Professor Rick Plum joins me once again. I'm Johnny Dean here from Lucia Capital Group. We're ready to get going on the strategy portion of the show, which means you get ready to talk money with the Brain Trust. It's your chance right now to take advantage of the years of experience and the knowledge that we've got here in the studio, and all you got to do is just give us a call. That's it. We're going to go to phone calls immediately, as a matter of fact. We'll continue to answer your emails as well. That's coming up shortly. Got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines open right now. 877-PLANNER. You pick up your phone. You give us a call at that number, 877-752-6637. Spells out PLANNER. As for your emails, you send those to us via our website. That's the one we call wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link there at the top of the page. We will answer those emails right here on the program, just like magic. Professor Rick Plum, Certified Financial Planner. Rick's here with us once again from Lucia Capital Group. So if you got a money question, or if you need a bucket strategy put together just for you, or just, you know, any questions on anything we talk about on this program, you can reach Rick, the professor, or any advisor we've got on hand at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. We're here to give you the help that you need. Again, the off-air number, 800-644-1150. On the air, reach us, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. So we got a few lines open right now. Great time to call right here at the top of the hour, 877-752-6637. Any money question that you have. We're going to start with, we'll get to some of the topics, Professor Plum, in a little bit, that were important at the last workshop last weekend. So we will cover those in just a couple of moments. But let's move along to the first call of the hour, Mike in Miami, Florida. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Yes, how are you doing?
Doing great. What's up?
Good. I'm a 57-year-old. I'm a disabled veteran. I work full-time now. And I want to know, at what age can I get my Social Security disability without income consideration?
Well, never. It's 66, I guess you could call it that, because it's you're 57 right now, 5'7"?
Yes.
When you get to your full retirement age, which would be about 66 and 8 months, you will be able to receive a full Social Security benefit without the retirement earnings test, without the disability earnings test. But if you were to qualify for a disability benefit and start receiving a disability benefit, at all times that you are on the disability benefit, you will be subject to the trial work period, the earnings period, and all the different rules that go into the ability to work or not work with a disability benefit. Once you get to your full retirement age, the benefit that you would be receiving would change from a disability benefit to a retirement benefit. Once you're receiving a retirement benefit at or after your full retirement age, there are no earnings limitations. But if you were going to try to have a disability benefit prior to and work, you're going to get dinged because of the earnings tests.
Even at 62.
Even at 62, because it's still a disability benefit at that point. Now, you could quit working, but that's not what you asked. You could quit working and apply for a retirement benefit, which would be a reduced benefit at 62. If you can, you know, get a disability benefit and not work, then you could get the disability benefit, but you wanted to be able to work and get a disability benefit, and they're not going to let you have that. Not until you get to full retirement age.
Another question is, the disability income and the normal Social Security income, which one is higher?
Well, disability is going to be a higher benefit than the Social Security retirement benefit. If we're talking about age 62, if you apply for a retirement benefit at 62, it's a reduced benefit. But if you are eligible for a disability benefit at any point under full retirement age, it's a higher benefit than the retirement one. But you're talking like you could just go in and say, I don't want to work anymore, and therefore give me a disability benefit. You have to qualify for a disability yes. benefit. I understand you said you're fully disabled, but you're also fully working.
I assume I'm qualified because I'm a disabled veteran.
Okay. That doesn't necessarily mean that you can get Social Security, unfortunately. Now, it may. I don't know what the disability is, but you're working full-time. It doesn't seem to stop you from working full-time right now. And so you have to make sure, before you play the game, you better make sure that you can get the disability benefit and that your disability will allow you to have a disability benefit from Social Security.
That makes sense, James.
A time limit to apply and when to quit my job.
Well, just wanting to, I mean, the fact that you were working and you were carrying a full-time load, unless you can say you're quitting because you cannot physically, mentally, whatever the case is, handle it, and that your disability is the reason you are not able to work, not that you just don't want to work, but you're not able to work, then you can try to get the Social Security disability benefit. So you're going to have to talk to somebody at Social Security whether or not you would be able to get the disability benefit or
not. Yeah, and that's going to be up to them, Mike. So I tell you what, if you need some more information on that, if you want to hang on, maybe we can talk to you a little bit more off the air. There is an earnings test for this. Now, he's been working full-time, so just understand how these things work. We were talking about that earlier. It can help. It can wipe out just about any benefit of your own. All right, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it. Let's move not too far away, Sun City, Florida. James is up next. Hi, James. How can we help you today?
Hi there. Yeah, some information is what I need. I'm trading within a Roth IRA, and I try to pick off dividends. I buy about 2 weeks before the dividend, ex-dividend date, and I sell about 2 weeks after that. Will I have to pay any taxes on the dividends I receive?
Not inside the Roth IRA.
All right, so I can just do this about every month. I can pick off another dividend.
Yeah.
Hey, great news. I have another question if you'd like it.
Sure.
Can you predict better what's going to happen in the stock market tomorrow or 30 days from now?
If you're talking about a specific security, I'd say neither.
Okay.
Nobody can predict what will happen on a very specific situation. Now, over time, we have a very good feeling that the markets will progress. Doesn't mean that it will. Whereas over a 30-day period of time, nobody can tell you what's going to happen with the market, let alone a specific security. But over a 15, 20, 25-year period of time, we have a much higher probability that the market will act as historically has happened. The longer we go, the more likely it's going to do what it does in the past. But 30 days? No. Nobody can tell you exactly what's going to happen on a market level, let alone a security level.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. James, thanks. Yeah, you know, a lot of people, they make a lot of money selling you software and, you know, selling you their system. They've got the system beat. We got ways to evaluate patterns in the market, and we can, you know, go up and down and sideways, and we can tell you with X amount of certainty that this is going to happen. And, you know, all you got to do is spend $3,000 on this software. You install it on your computer, it does all the work for you. You can buy and sell. I mean, how many times have we heard this?
And if I really had that software, if I were the one that developed it, I knew the problem, I sure as heck wouldn't sell it to you. I'm sorry. I would first make a billion gazillion dollars for myself. Then I would let my friends have it and tell them not to sell it to anybody else, because I don't want, the more I share it, the more people that have my system, the less it's going to work.
But it's not going to work anyway, thing.
I've never found one that does work.
No, we haven't. But think about it. Let's say there was some source out there that absolutely knew. They just arrived from the future, you know, 15 days, whatever. I don't know. I'm making this up. And so everybody knew about this. And the person says, okay, this stock is going up for sure.
But as soon as you mess with the space-time continuum, you change the outcome in the future.
Well, okay, there you go. But let's just say somebody knows, all right? And all of a sudden, everybody knows this. Said, all right, now this particular stock, you should buy it because it's going to go up. Well, if everybody tries to buy, there's not going to be any sellers. And so what's going to happen is it's become self-defeating.
Right. Let's say you know who's going to win the March Madness. You know, which,
right.
You know who's going to win. And you go back in time to make your bets, or whether it's the Super Bowl, the World Series, that whatever game it is, you know in advance what game is going to, you know, you, the team right now shows up at the beginning of the season 200 to 1 odds, but you know that they're going to win it. And you let everybody else know. Those odds are going to go to 1 to 1.
I mean, of course they are. Well, they're going to probably go less than that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to lose money on the
you
deal.
You can't.
No, you can't do that. So that's the whole point. And really the point, if you really want to back up, the point is that they don't know. Nobody knows. There's no software anywhere that's going to tell you when to buy, when to sell. And it's going to be consistently correct over the long period.
And where history has shown us what the markets tend to do, they don't tell us what a specific security will do.
No, absolutely. Any number of things could happen, right? You don't know. Technology, especially now, it changes. What's hot today is not going to be hot 5 years from now in many cases. Okay, hang on. Paul in Fairfax, we'll get to your question when we come back. Among some others, we do have still, looks like, two lines open, so grab it while you can. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. This is Bucket Strategy Investing. Don't go away. Some of your emails shortly. Got a couple in during the show and some before the show, and actually a couple last week that we haven't had a chance to get to yet. But that's all on the docket. We do take phone calls first, though. So get on board right now with your phone calls and your questions. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Let's move along. James, next in Sun City, Florida. James, thanks for hanging on.
Paul, I believe.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, that's right. We just had James. Okay, then it is, forgive me, that's right, Paul. Sorry, Paul, in Fairfax, Virginia. You are next. How can we help you today?
Well, yes, sir. I'd like to ask you if I can, calling from the woods and putting as much money as I can before I invest. Like to know what would happen in Iraq before the dinar revalued.
Basically, they'd have to have some stability. They'd have to have some structure. They'd have to quit fighting with each other. A lot would have to happen before the dinar actually became a valued entity again. A lot of people for many years now have been waiting for the new dinar to basically what they call revalue back to original pricing. That pricing was back.
Yeah, that pricing, under the dictator.
Yeah, they wanted to go back to that pricing. It's not going to go back to that. It's a new system. It's a new thing. And so they were talking about, well, once the IMF does this or once this happens, it doesn't matter. Nobody trusts the dinar. Nobody trusts that there's going to be any stability to that currency at any time in the near future.
It's normally dictated, Paul, on the full faith and credit of the government that issues that. And the question is, how much full faith and credit do they have? And the answer is very little.
Until they get some stability in that region, which we know is a very stable part of the world, not going to happen. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, I remember, this has got to be 10 years ago now. We were doing a seminar once, and a gentleman came up and said he wanted to know how to invest his $5 million. This is at least 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was like 2006. You know, what do I do with my $5 million? I want to retire. I was like, okay, here's what you do. You bucketize this. And you're, where's the money currently? Well, I don't quite have it yet. I just invested $50,000 in the Iraqi dinar, and this was, I think, in November-ish time horizon. He said by January it should be worth $5 million, because they were expecting it to do something crazy that was just, you know, financially impossible to happen. And he put $50,000 into this, and so far he's gotten back nothing.
Yeah,
and he was deadly serious that he truly expected it to be worth at least $5 million within 2 months.
Yeah, doesn't
work.
Way too much has to happen between now and whatever stability, if there is going to be any stability in that region. And I was no way that I would want to make that bet. So anyway, Paul, thanks for the question. We appreciate it. We haven't had that question for a while. We did for, you know, it was kind of popular there.
Back after they first started issuing it.
Yes.
And there looked like there was some hope in that area.
Yes.
That they were thinking, but everybody blamed the IMF for keeping it controlled. And they said, once the IMF stops controlling it, it'll go back. And why would anybody want that currency?
Nah, I'm not. I'm not sure. I would say no. That's not a recommendation. It's not.
No, we don't know anything about it.
No, but it's just that's kind of the
way.
As
sure as I just said it, it'll skyrocket tomorrow.
He's just kidding, folks.
That's, I don't know.
That's yeah. I want to make that clear. Although I got a hankering right now to
for some dinner.
Hop in a canoe and you know go sailing down the river. I don't know why. Just do.
I think you took the show down the river.
Listen to some banjo music. Okay, let's move along. Emmanuel is up next in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Emmanuel. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question with regards to Social Security, the file and suspend.
Sure.
Essentially, the information I have is I am already full retirement, 66. Mm-hmm. So I'm already receiving benefits.
Okay.
My wife is going to turn 66, full retirement in December. Now, with the April 30 file and suspend deadline, we were expecting to file and suspend on her full retirement age in December.
For what purpose?
Now that they've got the deadline to April, what is the best option to take?
Well, she doesn't have the file and suspend option, but why would she want to file and suspend in December anyway? Where does it get you?
If she files and suspends, she gets the spousal benefit until she goes 70.
No, we've got some miscommunication here. In fact, if she wanted to take a spousal benefit, she does not want to file for her own benefit and suspend it. If she files for her own benefit and suspended it, even under the old rules, she screws herself up from getting a spousal benefit. Now, the good news is, done properly, you can do exactly what you want to do. When she turns 66, her full retirement age in December, she can do a restricted application where she does not file for her own benefit. She stays as far away from her own benefit as she can. She files a restricted application for only the spousal benefit. She doesn't suspend anything. She files for only a restricted application for a benefit from your work record, the spousal retirement benefit, and she's eligible to get that. The only thing she had to do to be able to do this is turn 62 before the end of last year. She did that. She did that a couple years ago. So there's nothing you need to do now. April is not an issue for you. She does not want to file and suspend her benefit in December or April or any other time. She wants to do just a suspended application in December. She can't do it before she turns 66, but once she gets to her full retirement age, she can do a restricted application and file for only half of your benefit.
And then her benefit will then accrue through age 70?
Right. Has she filed for her benefit under the system I just talked about? Nope.
No.
That means that she can go back in at 70 and take her own benefit. That is what they got rid of for anybody who was not 62 by January 1st of this year. But she was 62 by January 1st of this year. She still can take advantage of that.
Okay. So basically we don't do anything.
Nope. Because you're not going to suspend your benefit.
66.
Now, the only thing that you would do is if you wanted to suspend your benefit and let it grow for until age 70, you could do that as long as, and she could still do the restricted application as long as you suspended by at the end of it, by April 29th.
I can still suspend mine even if I have been receiving it for at least a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. The reality is they're not taking the file and suspend away. The owner of the benefit can suspend their own benefit after full retirement age till age 70, all they want. What they're doing is they're getting rid of the ability for you to suspend your benefit after April and still have your wife claim a benefit from your work record while you're waiting. So,
okay.
So if you want okay. to, if for some reason you just said, you know what, I want my benefit to grow for a couple more months up until I'm 70, Emmanuel could suspend his benefit before April 29th, it will grow between then and your age 70. But because you filed and suspended, you filed, obviously, you've been receiving it. Because you suspended before April 29th, your spouse can then pull a benefit from your work record, even though you've suspended your benefit. So if you wanted both your benefits to grow to 70, you need to file before April 29th. For her to get a benefit.
So I'm the only one that needs to file before the deadline, and I can still, accrue more income towards the age 70.
And if you think you're both going to live a long time, that could make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Hey, listen,
yes,
Emmanuel, I got to take a break. Hold on if you have some more questions. We can bring you back on the other side because I know this is confusing. In fact, we got a guide you can download off of our Facebook page that'll help explain some of this stuff as well. So hold on. We'll be happy to talk to you more about it if you need some more clarification. Got a couple of lines open right now. 877-PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Today is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, answering your money questions, whatever they happen to be. We've had a lot of good questions so far today, some that we don't normally get, which is perfectly fine. Any question that you've got on your mind, you give us a call. We will talk to you about it. 877-752-6637. And one of the topics that comes up quite a bit, of course, is Social Security. In fact, we have a couple of folks that want to ask about that. Manuel was asking just a little bit ago about file and suspend. And this really speaks to some of the changes that have happened in Social Security that could affect your benefits. So guess what? Professor Plum has put together this free guide. Well, you had a hand in it. The big changes coming to Social Security. You can download it. What you do is you go to our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, just search Wealth Ed, Wealth Ed, and you'll find our Facebook page. You should like it, too, because then it just shows up on your newsfeed. And one of the top links on there is the link to download this particular guide. Just 5-6 minutes of reading time, and it'll give you a whole lot of information in just a little bit of time. You can also find us at wealthed.com in the upper part of the page, the main page. You'll see our Facebook icon. Click on that. That'll bring you to our Facebook page as well. Either one. But the download that guide. Big changes coming to Social Security. In fact, they've already come. So check it out. It's well worth it. All right, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. It's interesting, too. Last Saturday, you had the workshop, and I don't think, was this the first time?
I don't remember a question on Social Security.
Yeah, that's odd.
Now, there was somebody who came up after the seminar and had some specific questions about their particular issue with the windfall elimination, the government pension offset, and they wanted to know how affected they would or would not be. But they had their work history, and we could look at it fairly easily.
Yeah. And all right. Well, that was helpful.
That was specific to them. It wasn't a general question in nature. But we didn't have. Usually, we get a lot of Social Security questions. Now, at Portland this last time, we had some questions on the lifetime income.
Lifetime income annuities, or annuities. What, or just lifetime income in general? What were some annuities. Of the big topics? All right, let's start with that.
Questions, I think that many people have been listening to the show the other day when we were talking about the sale of a home and what constituted basis in a home, in a home sale, whether putting on a new roof actually increased your basis.
Oh, yeah.
The roof is repairs.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. This did come up last week as one of our topics, selling a home. We were speaking in some cases more from a capital gains standpoint,
right.
But there are certain improvements that you can make that will add to basis. Now, explain, if you would, for just a moment, what we mean when we say basis in a home.
Well, basis in anything is the starting point for determining tax gain or loss. Typically, it's what we pay for something. And so like with a stock or a mutual fund, it's what we paid originally. And then if we're reinvesting the dividends, that reinvested taxable portion increases our basis because we're paying more after-tax money into the investment itself. With a property, with a real estate property, specifically a primary residence, it's what we paid for it. And then over the years, what we paid to improve it. My son and I were talking about this weekend. He's redoing the bathroom on the condo we bought last month, or closed on it. And he's basically ripped the bathroom out, and he's putting in a whole new bathroom, and it's going to be much nicer. He's improving the situation, and he was asking whether or not he needed to keep the receipts. And I said, well, it's nice to keep. It's nice to keep all the records, but it's not going to help you from a basis standpoint because you dream about having $500,000 of gain in that condo. It's just not going to happen. So whether you should keep track of it depends on, if you're paying $100,000 for a place and you plan on keeping it for 5 or 10 years, it's unlikely you're ever going to have $500,000 as a married couple of gain in that. It's only when you have more than the $250,000, $500,000, depending on single and married, that you really have to show basis over and above what you paid for it originally. But does a roof? Well, a roof is a repair. If you change the type of roof, to a whiz-bang roof that's got a longer guarantee, it's a better fire roof depending upon where you live, okay, that's an improvement. And so a portion of the price of that roof can be used as an improvement, which is a increase the basis.
Yeah, and things like room additions, as you said.
A pool, tennis court.
Maybe redo the kitchen, something like that. Whatever it happens to increase the value.
Hardwood floors, I mean, if you didn't already have them, I think is an improvement.
Yeah, I suppose there's some gray area in there. But anyways, things like that, that can add to your basis. And by adding to your basis, that can reduce your taxes upon sale, your capital gains taxes, because it's the difference between what you paid for or what you received for the home upon sale and what your basis is, which is your what you paid for it plus any improvements.
One of the keys there was somebody asked about the loan. The loan has nothing to do with the basis. That's just where did you get the money to pay for something. If the loan actually had something to do with the basis, the best thing you could ever do was borrow all the money out just before you sold it.
Right.
But it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. It's what you paid for it.
Plus improvements.
Right, which just means that's the gain. That's the gain. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Let's see, we just lost a couple of folks, so give us a call back. Let's move down next then to Tom in Las Vegas with a question or two. Hi, Tom.
Hi there.
What's
up? I wanted to ask you, I'm drawing my Social Security. I started drawing it when I was 66. My wife is now 65. Can she draw the Social Security from my account and let hers keep growing until she's 70?
She will be able to do that once she reaches 66. She cannot do it until she gets to 66. She is in that favored category that still allows this to happen. She's at least 62 as of January 1st of this year. She still has the restricted spousal application available to her. But she has to be full retirement age to have that choice.
Okay, so she'll be able to draw mine for 4 years.
Yes, and let hers grow, and then at age 70, she goes back in and applies for her own benefit.
Now, she is a retired school teacher that gets a pension from the state of Texas.
Okay. Well, she may or may not be able to get anything from your spousal retirement. How much is her pension?
She gets about $2,100 a month.
She's not going to get a spousal benefit. The government pension offset is going to wipe it out, because the first $1,400 of any Social Security that she would be eligible for from your work record will be eliminated. At today's world, there is no $1,400 spousal benefit. And so, you know, what are you currently receiving? You started at 66, so what are you receiving?
I get $2,850.
$2,850? But you started a little bit later than that then, or there's been some extra increases.
Yeah, they probably had a COLA.
I worked for 50 years. So.
Right, but the best she would do is about 1,400. The first 14, they're going to take two-thirds of her pension. She's getting 2,100 a month. Two-thirds of that is 1,400 a month. The first 1,400 a month from Social Security is going to be wiped out.
Okay. So she'll just have to wait till she's 70 to just draw hers.
If you think she's going to live a really long time.
Well, she comes from long liver. She could start at 66 and get something anyway. But
how much is she projected to get it? How much is she projected to get at 66?
It's around $550.
I would take it, and here's why.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I wouldn't take it.
I was just going to ask you that. She's going to live a long time.
$2,800. Yes, I would still take it, because you're a couple years ahead of her, right, Tom?
Yes.
Well, and so she will continue to receive. She starts her benefit at $500 a month at 66. She'll continue to get that not for the rest of her life, but for the rest of your life. And then when you die, she will step up to about $1,400 a month. Her benefit will never become $1,400 a month if she waits until 70. So the payback period is, unless you live until she's about 83 years of age, which puts you at 87, 88 or so. If you live to be 100, sure, her waiting makes sense. If you make it to age 83, 84, 85, it does, and that's it, that doesn't make sense for her to wait.
Yeah, we could use that money to vacation or something.
Sure.
Take it at 66, have fun with it, and then prove me wrong by living to be 100 years old.
Yeah, that's not wrong with it. All right, hey, thanks for the information.
All right, thank you for the call, Tom. Yeah, and again, here the reasoning behind this is because it's not so much the length of the how long the person's going to live, it's how long the benefit is going
to
live.
And we know that it takes her living to about age 83 if we just look at her benefit alone. And we were looking at just her benefit alone because of the government pension offset. But his benefit's $2,800. The government pension offset is $1,400. So if he dies, she'll receive about $1,400. Her benefit, even by waiting until 70, will never grow to that amount. He's 5 or 6 years ahead of her in age. He's got to live to be close to 90 for her waiting until 70 to make sense.
Yeah. Now, he's getting $2,800 a month now, but that's because he
took it a little bit after 66.
Right. But the spousal benefit is based on the full retirement age. So it's got to be, you know, $1,350, $1,400 max.
Which means she's not going to get anything from
right,
the spousal.
Which would make it zero out. So, okay, there you go. Wonderful questions. Let's see. Well, hang on. Robert in Portland, we're going to put you up next. You had a similar question, so hold on a second. Just be a couple of moments here. We will get to your question, and we have room for maybe one or two more after that. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're coming right back. Market Strategy Investing, we're here for you every day at this time. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, 877-PLANNER, our number. We've got just a little bit of time left in this hour, so if you want to get your call in before the top of the hour, you better do it right quick, as they say. 877-752-6637. Some trivia coming up, if there's time, along with an email or two, but we're going to continue taking your calls. Folks on hold, don't go away. We'll get to everybody, which means Robert is up next in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Robert.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I have a Social Security question. My wife turns her age 66 in November of this year. Her full retirement benefit at that time would be just about $1,300 a month. I am I'll be age 60 in June of this year, so quite a ways from being able to claim my benefit. She will probably, you think it's very likely that she will take a survivor's benefit in the next 5 to 10 years.
Now, that's not
so
good.
I'm thinking it makes no sense to wait till she turns 66 to claim her benefit. My primary insurance amount is $2,500.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So there's no reason for her to, she's not working right now, right?
She is working, but she will make less than the $41,880 this year.
There's no reason to wait if we're fairly certain that she's going to pick up a widow's benefit in the next 5-10 years that is significantly higher than what her benefit is. There's no reason to wait on hers. I hate to say, you got it down on for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then the decision, if I make it past age 62 or 66, whether to take my benefit, I know that will shrink her survivor's benefit or widow's benefit. How do you make a decision between delaying mine and basically not even getting mine, and then she would go to it when I pass away, versus taking it for the few years I have eligible to take it, and then she ends up living with the survivor benefit at a smaller amount?
It's just a matter of, from a financial standpoint, you look at the dollar amounts. You say, okay. I'm only going to get 18. My wife is only going to get 1875 from her age 69 through her life expectancy, or she's going to get 2500 a month from her age 69 through her life expectancy. But we give up X amount of dollars in the early years to get that. So what am I giving up? What is she gaining? And from a purely financial standpoint, we just look at the cash flows, and then you add the emotional level to it after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. I was just thinking that it made no sense to wait until she turned 66, and you confirmed that.
Yeah, I agree.
And you've done some good research on this, Robert, so I congratulate you for that. You seem to know the how this works and the numbers. So we appreciate that. Sorry to hear about that.
He's got a tough situation that he's trying to make the best of.
It is. And I mean, but the thing is, you know, he doesn't know. I mean, he suspects, you know, 5 to 10 years. So there's no reason to wait on hers, because
hers is going to turn into his.
Right. Exactly. Now, his question again was,
do I give up basically $18.75 a month for the 5 years I expect to live,
or however long?
But then she gives up basically the, you know, that difference of $625 a month.
If he's talking about taking it as early as possible, like age 62.
Right. He's talking about if he makes it to 62, should he take it for the few years that he unfortunately has left? But that does penalize her on the other side.
Yes, because once again, the spousal benefit is based on, the survivor benefit is based on if the person takes it under full retirement age. It's whatever they had.
Basically, yes. There is a small caveat. If he takes it at 62, she'll actually get a slightly larger benefit than what he's receiving. But it's not anywhere near the 60.
Because the reduction isn't as great.
Right. I mean,
but whatever.
It's a small issue, because it'll still be a reduced benefit for
her. Yes, yes.
So what's more valuable, the $18.75 for the lifetime of the payment starting at 62, mm-hmm. or nothing, and then $2,500 a month for the lifetime of the payment starting 5 years late, 4 years later?
Right. And if for some reason he passed away before he started taking a benefit,
she gets the primary insurance amount.
Yes.
Which is basically the full retirement age benefit.
Right, exactly. That's a tough call. It really is.
And it really depends on what the diagnosis is.
Well, it does. It depends on that. Yes. And I guess to some degree, it depends on her life expectancy too, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so. I mean,
you know,
if unfortunately, her life expectancy doesn't really get, but it still looks at what is the cash flow?
Mm-hmm.
What is the value of cash flow A, which starts off at his 62 and then is a slight bump when he passes away? Or what is the cash flow under scenario B, which one's more valuable to him?
Yeah, but as I said, you know, just his questions suggest that he's been looking into this and has done a pretty good job, so that's good.
Probably when you start getting diagnosis of what he was getting, you start looking into this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, 877-PLANNER. I don't have time. I want to get to at least one email here before the top of the hour. Jen's in Rosedale, New York. If I'm on Social Security disability, how much income am I able to generate from working that will not affect my Social Security disability benefits? Well, we sort of broached this topic a little bit earlier, but what do we have?
Well, there's a period of time, I think it's either 8 or 9 months, where you can earn any amount of money that you can possibly earn. And then after that, there's a monthly amount that you can't exceed and still receive all of your Social Security benefit. There's a trial work period. There's all these different games, unfortunately. It's not as straightforward as the one for the retirement earnings test for the survivor or retirement benefit. But basically, it depends on how long you earn, how much you earn, and I think it's around $800 or $900 a month. Once you get past that eight or nine month period of time where you can earn any amount, there's like a trial work period that if you make more than $800 or $900, and it's fairly complicated, but it's not a whole lot. You've got this first initial, you know, where you think you can get back in the workforce. They let you get back in the workforce, but a lot of people get back in the workforce and then realize that their body just can't handle the day-to-day grind of whatever it is, and they have to back off again, or they have to back off for the rest of their life, whatever the case may be. But the rules are complicated, and so you've got this.
Well, they're complicated, I think, Professor Plum. Excuse me for interrupting, but I think they're complicated because so many different situations arise. When you're talking about disability, it's what level of disability. How much work can you actually do? And then, as you said, you might get into it and decide that, no, it's not going to work. And so they have to allow a little bit more leeway than they do for somebody who's just working for a living because they want to.
Yeah, they want to incentivize you, if possible, to go back to work. But they also understand that it may not work. It may be too much for whatever the ailment is.
Yeah. So the retirement benefit, different slightly in some respects from the disability benefit with regard to the the retirement earnings test. Okay, we're out of time for this hour, but you may need the Brain Trust off the air. If so, guess what? There's an off-air number for you to reach them at Lucia Capital Group. The phone number, 800-644-1150. Talk to Professor Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors about anything you've heard on this program. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.